We're giving away two audio DVDs of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's almost 8 hours of teaching. Here's how you can win. Find the Issues Etc. podcast at the iTunes store. Click Ratings and Reviews and write a review. Then send the text of your review to contest@issuesetc.org. The two listeners with the best reviews will receive the audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winners on Labor Day.
I could imagine a culture that would say that the kid doesn't count until it's 5 years old, for instance. I think that would be a pretty brutal society, but okay, we could imagine something like that.
An excerpt from a recent interview we did with Dr. P.Z. Myers, author of The Happy Atheist. We were talking about the pro-life movement and how, in his view, of course, he comes from an atheist's viewpoint, from his view, since all morality, all law, all protections of law are essentially arbitrary, determined by the community, he could imagine a community, a culture, where the legal protections of life would not extend to an individual until 5 years old. And yet, he would concede that would be a very, very brutal culture and community indeed. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, August the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Scott Klusendorf is going to join us. We'll spend the first half hour or so talking about and responding to some statements on abortion made by Dr. P.Z. Myers, author of The Happy Atheist. And they're useful not only because they're kind of straight from the horse's mouth, but also these are not positions held only by atheists. A little bit later, Chris Rosebow joins us. A mega church pastor, Brian Houston, and he is a mega church pastor. Hillsong Church, based in Australia, is a global church, very large, satellites in most major cities in the world, has recently made some statements on homosexuality that has caught the attention, especially of gay activists. Chris Roseborough will sort it out for us a little bit later. Then in the last hour of the program on this Friday afternoon, part six of our series on the Book of Romans, Dr. Michael Middendorf will join us. You can join us as well for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Scott Klusendorf is a regular guest. He's president of Life Training Institute and author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. Scott, welcome back.
Good to be with you always, Todd.
We're going to hear a number of positions of the not to steal too much of Dr. Myers' thunder, but that the unborn is, in his words, kind of a piece of meat that just so happens to have the right configuration of chromosomes, that he puzzled by the word unborn, contending that this is not a baby, much less a person, until well after birth. Are these positions held only by kind of the hardened atheist?
No, there are others who hold them. What I find interesting about Dr. Myers is he doesn't argue for them. He merely asserts them. In fact, a couple of procedural notes before we get into what he says. Notice he's going to make the claim that pro-lifers have lied, and then he's going to proceed to assert a number of different positions for which he will not offer one supporting argument. And it's important that we recognize what's going on in the conversation before we get into the details. And I find it amazing he would say that we lie, which suggests we had intent to deceive. Now, look, Todd, maybe the pro-life view is mistaken. Possibly it's true that me and others who have thought about this issue are wrong in the conclusion we reach. But suggesting that your opponents have lied and then turning right around and making a bunch of assertions for which you present no hope of evidence strikes me as disingenuous right out of the gate.
Well, let's start with the basic question that you have introduced our listeners to many, many times over the course of many conversations. And I posed this question to Dr. P.Z. Myers in our earlier conversation. What is the unborn?
What is the unborn? That's a weird term.
What is in the womb after the fertilization of the egg till the end of the ninth month? What is in the womb?
Technically, it's going through a whole series of stages. Once it's fertilized, it's a zygote. Then it goes through a blastula stage, then a gastrula stage, then a neurula, et cetera. What it is is a developing automaton. That what it is a piece of tissue that is developing gradually over the period of many months a set of characteristics that will culminate in the emergence of a human being.
I mean, what is it 5 minutes before it's born? Naturally
born.
What
is it 5 minutes before it's born?
Yeah.
It's a fetus inside the mother.
I mean, isn't fetus just another way of saying, isn't that just an old word for baby?
No. It's we actually have the pretty sharp distinction there. Once it's born, it's a baby. Before it's born, it's a fetus.
What's your response there, Scott?
Well, I loved how he responded. That's a weird term. You totally caught him off guard with that question. By the way, excellent question. And he was not prepared to answer it, and the nervous laugh you got was indicative of that. He then proceeded to confuse the issue. He said, what is it? Well, it's a zygote, it's an embryo, it's a fetus. Look, the unborn does not undergo several substantial changes of identity in the womb. Those stages he identified are just that, stages in the development of the same human entity from conception to natural death. And by the way, that's not just pro-lifers who concede that. The leading pro-abortion philosopher, David Boonin, at the University of Colorado concedes that what I just said is true. Peter Singer concedes that what I said is just true. And so do many others who debate this issue. So for him to pretend that we're talking about a different substance at each stage of development is philosophically a joke and scientifically a joke, and this coming from a guy who earlier in that same interview said that our thinking ought to be based on evidence. And again, he presents none.
What about the final contention he made there when I asked him about the word fetus, which is simply Latin for offspring or baby?
Yeah.
Get out a Latin dictionary,
yeah,
and you will find
someone.
The word fetus when you look up baby. And he said, no, there's a quite sharp distinction, insinuating almost that it was a scientific distinction made between the child immediately before birth and immediately after birth.
By the way, this is going to contradict what he's going to say a little later in the interview, where he flatly says there are no sharp boundaries, no magical moments. But here he's going to argue for one. So he's all over the map. He made the point that the embryo, the fetus, is tissue, a hunk of meat, I think he put it, or a piece of meat. This is scientifically wrong on a number of fronts. Let me just highlight a couple of points. First of all, he is confusing parts with wholes. The skin cells on the back of my hand are part of a larger human being, me. The embryo is not part of another human being in that sense. The embryo is already a distinct, living, separate being, and it is internally directing its development. Skin cells are skin cells. They are parts. Embryos are wholes in that they are complete living organisms where each individual cell coordinates with every other living cell to promote the health and development of the larger entity of which it is a part, and he confuses those two. Secondly, which I found very strange, not only does he confuse parts with wholes, he also is making this claim, and I know why he's doing it. He wants to sort of make it look like this embryo isn't a human being without having to argue for it. He's making the claim implicitly that embryos are constructed piece by piece, but that's not how human development works. We are not constructed externally, the way a car is piece by piece from the outside. Rather, the pro-life view is, based on the science of embryology, that each of us, from the moment we began to exist, we developed ourselves from within. We aren't constructed, we develop. And Professor Myers confuses those two very different things.
Next, I ask the question of Dr. P.Z. Myers, is the unborn a person?
Personhood is something that emerges very, very gradually. And this is where people get very upset with me, because I will say that a newborn baby is not quite yet a person. It doesn't have the full cognitive capability. It's got a brain that's undeveloped. It hasn't completed making all its synaptic connections or pruning its synaptic connections. It's an organism, actively developing into something much more sophisticated and complicated that I would have no hesitation to call a human being. But where we draw the line, where we draw the line and say this is a person and at this stage but before that is not, is a culturally determined thing. There is no sharp boundary. There's no magic moment. We have a convention in our society that the magic moment is birth. Although some people will say, you know, the magic moment is viability, once, you know, when it's capable of living on its own outside the womb. And either of those are perfectly acceptable to me, that those are places where we draw a line and say, this is the point at which we confer rights and privileges on this individual organism and treat it as a human being.
But that is essentially arbitrary in your way of thinking.
Yes, it is.
Scott, you got about a minute to at least begin a response. Thanks,
Todd. Give me a whole mouthful and give me a minute. Well, a couple of things. Notice the big picture of what's going on. Dr. Myers is making a distinction between one class of human beings we can't kill, he defines them as persons, and another class that we can kill, which he's going to call non-persons. Todd, every time in our history where we have made that distinction, we have gotten it so wrong, and the injustices that follow have been catastrophic. We did this with American Indians, claiming they were only two-thirds persons. We did it with blacks. We've done it with women. And each time we set aside a class of human beings that will admit are human but not persons with full rights, this is what you get. Here's the basic philosophical question. Does each and every human being have an equal right to life, or do only some have it in virtue of some characteristic that may come and go in the course of their lifetimes? And when we get back from the break, I would love to continue talking about what he said there, because his position results in savage inequality.
Scott Klusendorf is our guest. He's president of Life Training Institute, author of the book The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. We're responding in this half hour of Issues Etc. to some statements made in a recent interview with Dr. P.Z. Myers, author of The Happy Atheist, on the issues of abortion and life and personhood. When we come back, we'll let Scott opine a little farther on the issue of what he's heard there. And then a question from P.Z. Myers: how do you decide these arbitrary lines on the issue of life? We'll be right back.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has announced its fall schedule. Adult boot camps are weekday evenings and Saturday mornings, and sports performance training classes are Monday through Thursday nights. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We're giving away two audio DVDs of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's almost 8 hours of teaching. Here's how you can win. Find the Issues Etc. podcast at the iTunes store. Click Ratings and Reviews and write a review. Then send the text of your review to contest@issuesetc.org. The two listeners with the best reviews will receive the audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winners on Labor Day.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, responding to a recent conversation on the issue of abortion and life with Dr. P.Z. Myers, author of The Happy Atheist. Scott Klusendorf is our guest, president of Life Training Institute, and he's author of the book The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. You'll find links to Life Training Institute and to The Case for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Before the break, you said that the moral framework and the conclusions put forth by Dr. Myers in that last cut we heard lead to savage inequality. I think that was the term you used. Do you mean by that, Scott?
Well, first of all, let's take the criteria he puts forward. He says that the newborn doesn't count, so obviously the fetus wouldn't either, because the brain is still undeveloped. The synaptic connections have not fully formed. Well, guess what? We now know that's true of teenagers. In fact, I'm looking right now on my computer at a story from PBS, a story that is sourced from the National Institutes of Mental Health in Bethesda, Maryland, where they talk about the fact that one of the reasons why teenagers sometimes don't make the best decisions is because the brain is still undergoing development in the cortical region, in the frontal lobe region, and therefore it's understandable why sometimes decisions aren't the best at that stage of life. At the same time, if it's true that development is what gives us value, it follows that those with more of it have a greater right to life than those with less. He can't have it any other way. If he's going to assert that you don't count because you lack development, then you lose as soon as you come up against someone with more development. This was precisely the point, Todd, that Abraham Lincoln made in his debates over slavery. And to just paraphrase what Lincoln said, he said to his critic, "You say man A is white, man B is dark. It is skin color then, the fairer skinned man having the right to enslave the darker skinned man. Take care. By that rule, you're a slave to the first person you meet with skin fairer than your own. You say it is not skin color, it's a matter of intellect, the white man having more intelligence than the dark man. Take care yet again. By that rule, you're a slave to the first person you meet with an intellect superior to your own." And I think you can see, Todd, what Lincoln was doing here. He was showing that by the force of principled reasoning, any standard you put forward as being decisive for value and personhood worked equally well to disqualify white people. And by the same standard, if development is going to be what gives us our right to life, it works just as well outside of the womb, and here's why. Because development does not end at birth.
The next question I had for P.Z. Myers, author of The Happy Atheist, was how do you decide the issues of life?
We make these decisions on the basis of the greater good to the community.
But that itself is an idea that has its source in the community, right?
Yes.
The notion of a greater good.
Yes.
Okay.
So, the greater good here is that we maximize the security and happiness of the most people in the society. And I consider women's rights to be an essential part of that calculation. And that means that we can't simply say no abortion ever, because that tramples on the privileges of being a human being who happens to have two X chromosomes.
What are your thoughts there, Scott?
Well, first of all, notice that his reply is completely question begging. He is assuming the unborn are not human. He talks about how we need to make these decisions for the greater good of the community. Question, Professor Myers, are the unborn part of the human community? Notice he hasn't argued for this. He's just assumed in this sentence that they're not. He goes on to talk about we got to do what's best for the greatest number of people. Question, are the unborn people? He doesn't answer that. He talks about the need for women's rights. Okay, are unborn women included in that term, women's? Again, he just assumes the unborn aren't human. He doesn't argue for it. Now, I'll tell you what, I was amazed when he said earlier that where we draw the line is culturally determined, that there's no sharp boundary, no magical moment. Of course, this contradicts something he said earlier when he did say birth was decisive, but we'll forget that for the moment. Here's the problem here. If where we draw the line is culturally determined, He cannot oppose German culture deciding that Jews don't count. He can't oppose cultures that say women don't count. And one could say, well, I was talking, he could say, I was talking about developmental things. Well, then that leads to another problem. Why is it wrong to kill five-year-olds if a culture thinks that's okay? And he does make a statement about that. He basically says, well, I don't like that. I like five-year-olds. Well, that's not a moral answer.
Well, let's hear what he had to say. We have that bit of interchange here as well.
I could imagine a culture that would say that the kid doesn't count until it's 5 years old, for instance. I think that would be a pretty brutal society, but okay, we could imagine something like that. Or we could say, well, imagine one like ours, where we say the important thing is it viable? Can that fetus, when birthed, survive outside the womb? And we'll say at that point that you can't just go in and arbitrarily kill it.
You mentioned before a society, kind of the imaginary society, where the arbitrary line for legal protection is drawn at 5 years old. You said that'd be a pretty brutal society. What precisely would be brutal about it?
I have three kids, and no, they were delights from the moment they were born, you know, except for the changing diaper stuff. So, you know, I would say that as a human being who likes children, I would protect those kids with my life from the moment they were born onward. So if you were to say that little two-year-old over there, cute as she is, doesn't have full protection of the law, I would say that's a pretty brutal decision. That's an unkind decision that does no respect to a child who can love and be loved in return.
Well, how do you respond to that? I mean, it's chilling to hear someone even contemplate, much less put those kind of things into words. How do you respond to it, Scott?
Well, you heard it from his own lips. It would be wrong to kill the five-year-olds. His basic argument was, because I like them, and probably other people do too. Well, what if we were dealing with a society that didn't like them, that thought children could be enslaved, that they could be sexually exploited and traded for trafficking rights? What would be his argument saying that's wrong with a capital W? He doesn't have any basis for saying that's wrong. The only thing he can say is that I would prefer that not happen. I like my own kids. I like other kids. And yeah, I like them so much I'd be willing to die for them. Okay, you know what? That's an interesting fact about his psychology. It tells us nothing about why it would be wrong or brutal to use children that way. He has no foundation for these claims that he's making. And indeed, herein lies the problem, Todd. In an atheistic worldview where the universe came from nothing and was caused by nothing, human beings at any stage of development, fetus, toddler, newborn, old age, human beings at any stage are cosmic accidents. How do we get any kind of intrinsic value or any kind of rights that we can identify with a capital R that would apply to such people that are nothing but cosmic accidents? And that's the question I think that he is going to have a great deal of difficulty answering, because in that kind of universe, I don't see how you say anything has rights, including women having an absolute right to an abortion.
Finally, this is Dr. P.Z. Myers, author of The Happy Atheist, with his general thoughts on the pro-life movement.
Oh, yeah, let's get the audience fired up here. I'm a developmental biologist. This is what I study. And I think it is, I think that the pro-life movement has basically lied to the people, that they have destroyed important social services, that they have misled the country on a great many things. I would also say that from my personal convictions, an embryo is not a person. Personhood implies much more than being a piece of meat with the right number of chromosomes in it, and that the primary issue in abortion is women's autonomy. Does a woman have a right to choose what's to be done with her body? And I say, without equivocation, that is entirely the woman's decision. You can neither force her to have an abortion, nor can you tell her that she may not have an abortion.
Your final thoughts here with about a minute, Scott.
Well, I already dealt with his piece of meat objection and why that was wrong, and I already dealt with the fact that it's dishonest intellectually for him to claim we're lying. We could be mistaken, but you got to present some arguments to show that we are. He proves no intent. Then his final thing here seems to be that women have an absolute right to bodily autonomy. That's a rather bold claim. And again, unlike Judith Jarvis Thompson or David Boonin or Eileen McDonough, he makes no attempt to argue why we should see it that way. He just asserts it. Okay, well, what about this? What if a woman gets pregnant for the sole purpose of giving birth to a crack-addicted baby? And when people protest, she says, my body, my choice. Would he say that's okay? Or what if a woman takes a drug that would result in her child being deformed, and she knows that going in, and she wants a child with no arms, and so she takes this drug? Would it be wrong to correct the woman? If she has absolute bodily autonomy, I don't see how you can say that what she did was wrong. Or to use an example from a blogger who doesn't support my view on abortion but sees the problem with this line of reasoning, he says, imagine a woman who lets the fetus just stay in her body but refuses to let him pass once he's developed, and suppose that she takes drugs to keep him small and makes him live there for 70 years because she doesn't want him passing through the birth canal. She says, it's my body, my choice. Would it be wrong for her to enslave the child that is fully conscious at that point, aware of its existence? Well, if P.Z. Myers is right that this woman has an absolute right to bodily autonomy, and that's what I heard him say, then I don't know how we could critique that. There are people who offer better bodily rights arguments, like Thompson and Boonin. I think they're flawed, but they're much better than his, where he just asserts it.
Scott Klusendorf is president of Life Training Institute, author of the book The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. Scott, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. Always a joy to be with you.
Folks, here's a way that you can tell others about issues, etc. Simply write a review of the show on iTunes, right there at the iTunes store. Not only will you help us publicize Issues Etc., you'll also have an opportunity to win an audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. 8 hours on that audio DVD of the entire conference. Here's how you make it possible to win. Find Issues Etc. at the iTunes store. Just search for it in there. Search engine. It's very easy. Once you found Issues Etc., click Ratings and Reviews. Write your review. Then send the text of your review to us, contest@issuesetc.org, contest@issuesetc.org. The two best reviewers will receive a conference audio DVD, and we'll announce those winners on Labor Day. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Chris Rosebro. There's a headline out there, mostly among gay bloggers, gay activists, the gay news, that a megachurch pastor, Brian Houston of Hillsong Church in Australia, is beginning to come around on homosexuality. Chris will explain it to us right after this.
One of the things I love most about being a Lutheran is it doesn't require me to deny or explain away a single syllable of the Bible. I love that.
Pastor Todd Wilkin speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I don't have to be afraid that I'm going to find something in the Bible that is, that's not Lutheran. I don't have to worry about that. The closer you go into the Bible, the bigger magnifying glass you put on the text of Scripture, you find that it's Lutheran all the way down. You can put it under a microscope, and it is.
You can listen to Todd's entire presentation and all of the presentations from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference on our new audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you see it?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Back in January, Time magazine ran a cover article warning that the pro-life movement is winning. Kate Pickard, who wrote the article, chronicles the increasing number of restrictions on abortion passed at the state level, particularly in recent years. She also asserts the pro-life movement is increasingly winning the hearts and minds of the American people. The extremism of the pro-abortion movement, which celebrates the procedure, repels people, she says. Pickard means to sound the alarm and spark an effort to protect abortion. However, we see her article as evidence of progress.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.